You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, and we're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. We're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time, so when you cover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create the success that you deserve, and you do deserve to be successful. And you know, if you listen to the show, you know I always like to start off in that space. What is success to you? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to actually say, I deserve to be successful. Whatever success is to you, either in your career, your family life, or your business life. I love quotes. I always like to start the show off with a quote. And so here's our quote for today. As a society, we need to refocus on creating an economy that works for everyone. I believe the business community is in the best position to lead the way. Now that quote came from, and sorry, I hope I don't get the name wrong, Putin Rinjan. Now, Putin Rinjan is an Indian-American businessman who has served as chief executive officer in a multinational professional service firm, Deloitte, since 2015. He previously was the chairman and CEO of Deloitte Consulting, and then he moved on to be the chairman of Deloitte LLP. A very interesting man. I actually had the opportunity to read up on him a little bit on the internet, and I just thought, you know what? Some of the words and some of the things that he speaks about in terms of developing communities and businesses makes a lot of sense. If you know anything about me, you will know that I support social and community economic development through developing our business community. The reason is very simple. For every business that expands, or for every business that makes itself part of our neighborhood, someone has a job that puts food on the table, roof over their head, and clothes on their back. And what's wrong with that? It's the mere essence of our business opportunity that lends itself to our growth and development as a community. Working as a business strategist and trainer, I've developed hands-on the plans for businesses to expand. One of the most fascinating attributes of our entrepreneurial community is that business leaders I'm working with are truly concerned about the business community, not just profit. Our discussions with the business leaders and the team seeks to ask and answer three fundamental questions. What is good? Is it good for the customer? Is it good for the business? Is it good for the community? All three excellent questions to ask when looking at your business. I'm often humbled by the mindset of those business leaders and their teams as they remind me there is always a greater community good. For the people they serve, their customers, their clients, for the people who work in the business, their employee, and for a sense of creating something better that didn't exist before, making a positive contribution, the community. So here's the thing. Every business community to grow needs a helping hand. It has to be supported, needs resources, and must have a plan to go from A to Z, and Z to A again, and back again. The question, in what way is this happening in our business community? So here's what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I wondered who could come and share their thoughts on the business community, where we are going, and someone who basically knows the business of expanding our opportunities and our community at large. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Dana Spiring to the show today. Now, if you don't know who Dana is, she's CEO of Economic Development Winnipeg. Dana, welcome to Set for Success.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's nice to have you back, actually. Now, Dana, we got to sort of dive into this. The last time I saw you, or at least you're on the show, was like 3 years ago. And I think you were just sort of thrown into the new role of CEO of Economic Development Winnipeg. And that must have been a heck of a journey. Yeah. Like, my big question is sort of what's happened these last 3 years?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a whirlwind. I don't even know where you start. Yeah. The last time that I was on the show, I think I was in my role for about 3 months.
Yes.
Still trying to figure out what it was that Economic Development Winnipeg did and how we were going to make a difference. And, you know, I came into my role primarily because I'm a passionate Winnipegger, and I'm so proud of the city, and I think I told you then, and I continue to tell everybody that, you know, we have historically done a pretty lousy job of selling ourselves, and we've done a lousy job of showcasing what this city actually has to offer. And, you know, I think in the last 3 years we've shaken it up a little bit, and we've got a little bit of attention, and
I think you have. And, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, and I always do a little bit of prep for the show, and I was looking at your website, and then I was Googling a few things. And what I found interesting was this list of international publications that Winnipeg's name has showed up in, and with really good quotes.
Yeah.
And I don't think if I looked that up 3 years ago, I would have saw that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been very fortunate, but we've really... you know, put the city in a different light. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I came in was make sure people know, you know, what this city's all about. So, yeah, we've been featured in the LA Times. We've been featured in Vogue. We've been featured in, you know, the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, the National Post, the New York Times.
New York Times,
goes on and on. But people are, the people that have come to Winnipeg to come and experience it have walked away with an incredible perception of our city, you know? Whether it's winter, we had a woman from the LA Times come to talk about winter, and she came and you know, in my luck, it was about -2 degrees in January. There was big snowflakes
falling.
And she said, "Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful here." And I said, "Well, welcome to Winnipeg in winter."
Yeah, of course.
She doesn't need to know that this is a bit of an anomaly. But she got to go to the Forks. She got to see the skating trails. You know, she got to see thousands of people out there enjoying our winters. And she went back to Los Angeles and wrote about the fact that if you want to see winter, there's only one place to do that. You got to go to Winnipeg. It's the greatest. And so we'll take all that stuff and we'll continue to sell. And those are the kind of stories that we need to get out there.
That, you know, that's pretty amazing. You've got me thinking about it too, and I know right now, I will admit, we're in the summer months, but now I'm thinking about, geez, skating on the river again, because yeah. I always make a point of doing that several times during the cold season when it's safe to go, right?
Yeah.
And really taking advantage of the fact that I think it's 10 kilometers or something now. I don't remember.
Yeah, so it varies depending on the ice conditions and how the rivers freeze, but we have been, you know, the longest natural skating trail in the country. You know, every once in a while we go head to head with Ottawa, but ours is typically longer. Ottawa's is a little bit wider, but you know, I'll take ours every day.
Well, of course. And if you like the distance skate, I'm on board with that one. I can go further and get my workout in place. There's probably lots of things that you've been able to focus in on that. Can you speak maybe just a little bit what some of the challenges were earlier on when you started off with economic development in Winnipeg?
Sure. I think, you know, my primary challenge was to figure out where I could make a difference and where economic development should focus its efforts to really boost the city. You know, one of the things that we had to do was fight the perception. And Winnipeggers, you know, are some of the worst offenders on that. I hear about our city. I hear it's cold. I hear we have mosquitoes. And I hear we have potholes.
Yes.
Potholes I'm not even going to talk about because every city in Canada has them.
Potholes.
I think it's a non-issue. If you've lived in Winnipeg for the last 3 summers, I dare you to show me a mosquito.
Yes.
It has been it's been pretty spectacular. And yeah, our winters are cold, but our summers are hot. And, you know, and there are great things that we can do with both of those. So for me, it was to really get out and showcase some of the things that are happening in our city. We have businesses who are on the cutting edge, you know, on a global scale, doing what they do. I learned a lot about Price Industries in my first few years at economic development, and they do HVAC, and they are global leaders in what they do. Steve Jobs handpicked Price Industries in Winnipeg to do all of the HVAC in the Cupertino campus, the Apple campus in Cupertino.
With that thought in mind, because that's absolutely fascinating about Price Industries, I was just reading up a little bit on them just yesterday, actually, just an additional. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a short break? But when we come back, Dana will talk a little bit more about businesses that are showcased within our economic community. This is Rich Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Dana Spiring, CEO of Economic Development Winnipeg. And we were just talking just in the previous segment a little bit about some of the challenges that you had starting off 3 years hence. But now, of course, there's always new things that are happening. You know, 3 years, hopefully
there's
things have changed.
Now,
new challenges, right? Which is okay. But I'm really quite interested in showcase businesses.
Yeah.
So, and you change my words if I need to change a bit. We were talking a bit about that. We'd get you to speak a little bit more about that. So just expand on that for us.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, one of my beliefs is that success breeds success. And we don't talk about a lot of great Winnipeg companies. I mean, you know, we know some and we've all heard of Great West Life and we've heard of now Canada Life, but some of the big companies. But we don't always talk about guys like Price Industries or Conviron who are doing growth chambers that are cutting edge and you know, world leading on controlled chambers to grow, whether it's cannabis, whether it's, you know, different crops, different things. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. We're so understated.
And that's part of our charm.
It's part of the charm, right?
Yeah, my job is to tell the story.
To tell the story. And I have the opportunity to work with those small, the mid-range. And I often say that, you know, in the mid-range area, like we're the, and I don't know if you agree with this, but we're like the head office or capital of mid-range, successful mid-range enterprises in the country.
Yeah.
And I meet a lot of incredible companies that are doing stuff regionally, internationally, right? And they're head office here, but you'd never know it.
Yeah. And we're exceptionally good at doing trade and doing, you know, work around the globe. And partly that's because we're, you know, in the middle of Canada.
We've
got a lot of distances. So we've learned to export. We've learned, you know, how to create those business relationships. But we have companies that are doing just incredible things. And, you know, you look at our transportation and distribution networks and, you know, Bison Transport, Transex, you know, companies that, again, are the top in the country at what they do.
Well, even if you look at the whole Centerport plans, you know, I'm a motorcycle enthusiast, so you have to appreciate that. But when you ride down Canada Way on your motorcycle, it's an incredible road to ride down.
It is
right?
an incredible
road, and it's
road,
sort of still really open and not developed. But then when you start reading about the plans for Centerport, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, I was getting some of that off your site and everything, the transport hub and transition.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. It's exciting.
So tell us a little bit more about some other companies that maybe you've attracted to the Winnipeg business community and how they're doing.
Yeah, well, one of the ones that, you know, got a lot of attention when they came to town was Ubisoft, which is a gaming company.
Yes.
They make computer games like Assassin's Creed and Far Cry and games, frankly, that I didn't know about and know how to play until they came to Winnipeg, and I've learned.
You've learned,
Ubisoft is an international company. They're headquartered in France, but their Canadian head office is in Montreal. So it began with a cold call many years ago. Yes, Winnipeg, our business development group, reached out to them and said, hey, you know, if you're looking at new studios, have you ever thought about Winnipeg? And over a number of years, you know, they came to see us and we showed them around and we helped them, you know, connect with various levels of government and showed them our exchange district. And, you know, a couple of years ago, they set up shop here. And I shouldn't say a couple of years ago. I think that the office opening was in January.
Yeah, so it wasn't that far.
It's been announced for a while, but they officially opened their doors in January.
Do you know how many employees they've brought?
So they came
here
with the idea of having 100 employees and they're going to exceed that within the time frame that they talked about. So they're having great success and we're watching them grow, and it's an industry that Winnipeg did not have to the level that they're bringing, you know, to our city. And I got to spend some time at Sisler High School, which is one of those places that everyone should go if they want to feel great about this province. But those students are doing video gaming and they're learning computer animation and they're learning, you know, all kinds of different cutting edge technologies. And when we went there, we had them come to the Ubisoft announcement where we were announcing that Ubisoft was going to, you know, set up an office here. And there were tears in their eyes. And a couple of them said, you know, we always thought we had to travel. We always thought we had to go to Vancouver. We had to go to Toronto. You know, these are our rock stars, right?
Yeah,
the guys
yeah.
that make these games are our rock stars.
And now they're in our backyard.
Yeah. And now you can go work for them. Yeah. And it's that's pretty great.
But I think the Winnipeg's had some a lot of good fortune, is that maybe the right word, in the ICT type community?
Yeah,
right?
We've got unbelievable success there.
Yeah.
Again, no one knows about it.
Yeah, nobody knows
about
it.
We're really making some great inroads in that, and I mean that's the way of the future, right? Technology impacts every business, so we need to figure out how to do it well.
What other companies are you excited about that fall into that space, the ICT?
There's a list of companies that I'm excited about. So one of them, I mean, some of them are the more traditional companies.
Sure.
Whether it's Canada Life, whether it's Wawanisa, whether it's Bell MTS. I mean, they are also looking at technology in new ways and looking at artificial intelligence, looking at blockchain, and trying to build out their technical groups here in Winnipeg. You know, Skip the Dishes is one of those ones that
big headliner.
You can't not talk about, and they're right currently in 5 buildings in the Exchange District.
Yeah.
They are recruiting people from all over the globe to come and work here. And some people, you know, think that, oh, well, they're courier drivers they're recruiting. No, they're software engineers. They're, you know, architects for their back-end systems. And Just Eat is invested in Winnipeg for their technology. So when Just Eat bought Skip the Dishes a few years ago, they're focusing their technology in Winnipeg. So we're getting people coming from all over the world to work here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I have one of the things I have the opportunity to do is work with international students. And more and more and more, I'm seeing the ICT professional come in and project management skills, additional programming skills, anything that they can learn about business in Canada and how it operates. And then they're ending up working with organizations like Skip the Dishes, right? So they're getting jobs in those places.
Yeah.
Right?
We're also having, though, people that are professionals, you know, from all around the world come to decide to live in Winnipeg. And and that's that Winnipeg advantage that I'm trying to promote and we're trying to talk about as an organization. I mean, people are coming here for life lifestyle. People are coming here for commute times. People are coming here because you can get from your office to your, you know, host in less than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Try that in Toronto or Vancouver. I dare you.
It's funny, you know, I've lived all over the place.
Yeah.
I've lived in Toronto, Vancouver,
yeah.
Calgary. So I was driving into the studio today to come meet with you.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was thinking, oh, gee, it's so nice. It's only 10 minutes.
Yeah, right? It's true.
Like just absolutely fascinating. What is that time? I think what I'd like to do is take a short break. But when we come back, I think we should talk about, I want to follow up on a question we talked about before. And that was 3 years ago. I asked you, is Winnipeg an it city?
Yeah.
Right? And then what is the Winnipeg advantage? I think that'd be really good places to start. This is
Great.
Rich Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Dan Aspiring, CEO of Economic Development Winnipeg. And just before the break, we were just sort of looking at each other, big smiles on our face. And I started saying, well, you know what? I want to ask you an old question that we talked about 3 years ago. So first of all, it was the Winnipeg advantage. So what is the Winnipeg advantage? But then I hear chatter, like I travel and
yeah.
stuff, and I'll be in Vancouver or I'll be, sometimes I've been down the States and people will say, I read this article about Winnipeg being an it city. and I often, it makes me smile, but you know, what makes an it city and what have we done to create, I guess, the advantage and making Winnipeg an it city?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you asked me 3 years ago if Winnipeg was an it city, and I'm sure I told you that it was, and
oh,
I'm
yeah,
very
yeah.
excited to do it.
Sure.
I mean, I think now we're walking that walk in a way that we didn't even 3 years ago.
And so, there's a lot has changed in 3 years,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can look at the new city bird that's the crane flying all over our downtown with these new buildings going up, and you know, whether it's Artist Reed or True North Square or some of the development that's underway at the Forks, you know, there's great things happening in our city, and that's pretty exciting to see. But what changed the perception and what's got us all this attention? I mean, you know, a lot of that is been focused on the Winnipeg Whiteouts and the success of the Winnipeg Jets and how we were able to really capitalize on that energy. And, you know, 2 years ago, Economic Development, together with True North, decided that we needed to create an atmosphere where people could come and celebrate their hockey team, but they could also come and celebrate their city.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you watched the Stanley Cup playoffs, you saw images of Winnipeg. You saw our cosmopolitan downtown with tens of thousands of people wearing white, you know, cheering and celebrating and really putting our city in a light that a lot of people hadn't seen it. And I have a very good friend of mine who lives in New York and he's an investment banker and he's from Winnipeg originally. And he was watching the playoffs from his Manhattan apartment and every commercial break, NBC cut to Winnipeg.
Oh, well, there you go. Right?
You could not buy that kind of publicity.
No, you couldn't.
It also gave people around North America a different perception. So you may have thought that Winnipeg was kind of in the middle of nowhere and we're going to show you images of, you know, this spectacular museum. We're going to show you a street that, you know, has high rises all around. And people are there cheering and celebrating. And that's, I think, what people want in a city. That's the secret sauce.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about secret sauce. And, you know, we've talked about secret sauce in a couple of areas. I mean, it's not just the downtown core, but it's I always call it the old market square, just the habit,
yeah.
right? But then
exchange
we also have
district,
the exchange
yeah.
district, right? And then we have the Forks also, which there's
yeah.
some amazing things are happening there too. That's
yeah.
part of that secret sauce.
We have incredible neighborhoods, right? So, and Winnipeg is one of those accessible cities. So whether you want to live downtown, and we see a lot of, especially in the ICT space, you know, a lot of the young people that are coming to work here and live here, you know, they want to work and play downtown. They don't want a car. They want to be where the action is. They want restaurants around them, and that's where they want to be. You know, we have others who are, you know, starting families and doing things that have come to Winnipeg or come home to Winnipeg. You know, and they're in surrounding neighborhoods. But one of the advantages of our city is that everything is accessible. And, you know, you can live in a beautiful neighborhood with a backyard and all that kind of stuff, and you're still 10 minutes from downtown.
Which is not that bad, right? You just don't get that in other,
yeah.
in other locations.
Yeah,
other
you
cities.
Don't. You
yeah.
don't. And that's part of what we're selling. I mean, that is the Winnipeg advantage. We're talking about quality of life. We're talking about the fact that if you come to this city, you are going to get the amenities of other large metropolitan cities. You know, we have professional sports teams. We have arts. We have culture. We have an incredible food scene that has actually got attention around the country.
The food scene in the city
yeah.
is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So we've got all those aspects that people look for in a big city, but we also have affordability. I mean, you can't be a family in downtown Toronto and expect to have, you know, a large place to live and have accessibility to everything you need. We've got that affordability. We've got quality of life. We've got, you know, low daycare costs. We've got commute times that make sense. And you package all that together, and that's the Winnipeg advantage. And that's why we're encouraging people to take another look. If you're bringing your companies here, if you want to do business here, you know, there's a lot of things to attract your employees. And we need to tell that story a little bit better. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I think it actually started off with an initiative, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, was called the Bold Initiative. And I don't know if that initiative exists anymore.
Yeah.
But it was sort of the development of the airport, the development of the Assiniboine Park,
yeah,
and the zoo and everything, and the development. And then, of course, True North kicked in with the Jets coming back and
yeah,
all of those things. So those all of those things have contributed to the environment that we're in today.
For sure. I mean, you look at our airport is a great example, and it's another thing that's 15 minutes from downtown, right?
Yeah.
And so many cities can't say that, but we have a spectacular airport. The things that are going on in Assiniboine Park, you know, when we get the Diversity Gardens in 2020, I mean, that's going to create a whole new dimension there, and we're excited from a tourism perspective to start promoting that. You add the Inuit Art Gallery to that, and you know, it's going to be a great couple of years for Winnipeg, and you're going to see new things and new excitement happening because of the investments that we're making today.
So those are all really great investments. One of the things we didn't speak on, I think I'd like to touch on it just right now, as the CEO of Economic Development Winnipeg, you're actually running three different, I'm going to call it divisions or organizations.
Yeah, we call them teams within economic development.
I wanted to get something about on that because I don't think all our listeners will know.
Yeah, right? So underneath the economic development umbrella is Tourism Winnipeg, economic development, and then a group called Yes Winnipeg. And Yes Winnipeg, yes, was started by the private sector many years ago, and is really the business development team or the sales team of Winnipeg. They go out and they recruit new businesses to come to Winnipeg. They help businesses in Winnipeg expand. You know, they help businesses find talent and bring them to our city. So all of those organizations are under my umbrella, and we're working as one team. So there's great advantages when you understand how our economy works, you know, on the Yes Winnipeg side or the economic development side. There's synergies with the tourism industry, and we can, you know, bring meetings and conventions, or we can find special events that bolster some of our great economic sectors, and our team is working really well together, and we're accomplishing great things together, and I'm really excited about where the organization's going.
Yeah, and I think you should be excited about where the organization's going. Just from what I was reading up in that, even just this morning, I did a little bit more reading up on Economic Development Winnipeg, and I looked at Yes Winnipeg, and I look at the websites, and I really, one of the things I wanted to mention to you that I really loved and is that there's these, I'm going to call them one sheets, and for each industry,
yeah,
there's like a one sheet of what that industry has. So we talked about ICT, but there was one for the transportation industry, there was another one for the manufacturing industry,
yeah,
and I guess the aerospace, and it just gives you a really great summary of what's going on in each one of those business communities.
Yeah, and that's important for businesses that are looking to locate here. So if you're in the agricultural space, you know, you want to know who your competitors are, but you also want to know who you could potentially collaborate with and what that looks like and what the environment is like. So you're going to need a talent pool, and it's important that you understand that. So we try to have little snapshots of all of our industries and our, we call them subsectors. So, you know, it might be protein processing in the agricultural sector,
but
we try to drill down, and we want to be the experts. We want to understand how our business community works and what's driving it. We want to understand where we're really competitive, and we want to go and sell that edge, you know, nationwide and throughout North America.
Now, one of the other things that I read up, too, was on the Winnipeg Advantage. I'm pretty sure I read up a piece from Economic Development Winnipeg that talked about stability,
yeah,
talked about diversity and stability,
yeah,
of our economy. Maybe, yeah, you can speak to that a little bit.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that we've always kind of hung our hat on in Winnipeg, is that we've got this stable economy. We don't experience the booms and busts, you know, that a province like Alberta does. But there's steady growth, and, you know, it's a great place to do business. One of the other things that we have is a very stable talent base. So we have people that are long tenured, you know, in certain companies, and that doesn't happen everywhere. So that's something that we also are really proud of, and we sell those advantages to companies that are coming in. You know, when you've got to continuously train new staff and you know, they're continually moving on, that's a huge cost to business. So when you have a stable workforce and when you have, you know, great people in the city that do or are involved in the industry that you're in, you know, there's great economic advantages to that.
Yeah, I'd agree with you 100%. There, one of the discussions I often have with clients is about the valuation of their business and how they're structured. And one of the things that we actually take into consideration is their talent pool stability, stabilization of talent pool, and what the movement is. So Winnipeg does boast that as an economy overall, which is a great thing.
Yeah. We talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, Winnipeg is very difficult to recruit to. So if you are from outside of Winnipeg, the perception is still, you know, it's a tough sell to get you to come to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So I believe we're the second most difficult city in Canada to recruit to, but we are the toughest city in Canada to recruit from.
Oh.
So that says something, right?
That
if we can get
something.
You here and you can experience this city, you're not going to want to leave.
Wow, maybe we should talk about that, the experience of not leaving Winnipeg. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about the economic development in Winnipeg and the experience of not leaving Winnipeg. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Dana Sparring, CEO of Economic Development in Winnipeg. And if you're just tuning in, we've been talking a bit about the economy, what makes Winnipeg currently diversified and what the opportunities are. You know what? I get this real impression that we've developed a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
You know, and I sort of joking.
I love that impression.
I know. And I was joking in the last segment about coming to Winnipeg, but not exiting Winnipeg, right?
Yeah.
Actually staying here. And the interesting thing is when you we'll talk about momentum in a second, but when you go out and start talking to people, there's this pride and love of living here, and people actually show up and tend not to leave.
Yeah,
you know?
That's one of the things I think we have to cultivate as a community, right? Mm. We need to be bigger ambassadors for our city. We need to stop talking about potholes. We need to stop talking about the cold. We know it gets cold, but that's an advantage. And we need to, as a community, stand up and talk about how great our city is. So we're trying to reinforce for people that everyone has a role to play in making Winnipeg as great as it can be. And part of that is just changing the way we talk about things and really promoting what is great in our city.
Yeah, I agree. I can't help but make a point on the cold part. There's the opposite conversation too, right? On the hot side, my wife and I often have this conversation that we talk about different places to vacation or go travel to, and there's actually no other city we'd rather be in than Winnipeg in the summer.
Okay.
Because it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Like you can wear everyday t-shirts and shorts. You can go to all sorts of, there's free music everywhere.
Yeah.
Like you just pick a time of day and you want to go do something. There's something to go do.
Well, and we are a festival
awesome city,
right?
We
just finished the Folk Festival. The Fringe Festival is on now.
Yep.
You know, they're world class and people come from across the country to experience the festivals.
Friday and Saturday night on the Avenue.
Yeah.
Music, right?
Yeah.
Bands, right? Dancing, free music, right? And places to go, lots of stores to go to. I'm a little pumped too, right? You're contagious. You're contagious. In a good way, yes.
Yeah.
Momentum. We're talking about momentum a little bit.
Yeah.
So why don't we give us a little bit of history on momentum, I guess.
You know, I think that over the last decade or more, we have really invested in our city. And I think we stopped for a little while. And you know, people can debate on what the instigator was or what happened. But you look at Investors Group Field. You look at our airport. You know, you look at True North Square and Bell MTS Place. But you look at, you know, the investments that are happening. We are continuing to invest in our community. And we have to continue to do that. We can't stop, because if we think we're going to just take a break and you know, we'll be in neutral for a while, that's a fallacy.
It doesn't work that way. No, you know, it's like anything else. If you're involved in social media, just don't stop social media, because then you go away. And even in your own personal life, I like to take things like this on the big scale and make them very personal for people. If you take it on an individual level, if you don't continue to invest in your life every single day or every single year, then what ends up happening, right?
You're
you
not
go
in
into neutral,
no.
You go in reverse, right?
Yeah.
And so those things that you apply to yourself, just apply it to your team, apply it to your business, apply it to your community.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So we've made great investments. And you know, this earlier this spring, I had the pleasure of being at the announcement where Wawanisa announced they're building a new headquarters at True North Square. And, and I love to see announcements like that. I love when a company that has been a pillar of our community for so long doubles down in our city and is building a world-class building and you know, really bringing all of their employees under one roof. That speaks to their confidence in this city. It speaks to their confidence in this community. So we're watching what's happening at True North Square, and it's exciting. We're watching what's happening at the Artists building on Main Street, which is also exciting. you know, you're going to continue that development down. So the Richardson Research Center behind the Richardson Building is in under construction right now, which is exciting. And you continue down the Riverway, and the Forks is going to incur some great development as well. And we're really excited about what's going to happen there and how, you know, we're going to continue to see this momentum carry forward.
Yeah, one of the things we've talked about, and I want to go to the Forks a little bit, because yeah. I did read the report on that, and I'm very excited that I had the opportunity. It is online. You can download
it. Yeah.
It's public information.
Yeah, it's called the Railside Development Plan.
Development Plan. See, I didn't even remember the name of it, but I know I have a copy of it. I just found that was exciting because they were talking about multi-use situations, parking, condos, access to retail outlets, access to commercial space, places for people to hang out, you know, and do things.
The idea behind the Railside Development Plan is that there will be mixed-use buildings throughout that area. So the idea is that there will be very high-end public spaces. And if you go to the Forks now, you know, there's beautiful places to be outside and beautiful river walks and you know, gardens and little areas to be. So the rest of that development, which is now gravel parking lots, which I will not be sad when those are gone, will be high-end public spaces. But there'll be mixed-use buildings where the main floor will be commercial or public spaces. So they might be coffee shops. They might be restaurants. They might be stores. And then the upper floors could be residential. They could be commercial. They could be, you know, a variety of things. But that's the idea there. And it's worked really well in other cities. What we want to have is we want to have a lot of people at the Forks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And you get that in energy and you get that excitement. And you know, I've seen a lot of the plans and I'm excited about some of the things I've seen. Not all of them I can talk about yet.
No, of course not.
But there's going to be great things happening. And, you know, that area is so spectacular already. And when you have, you know, the museum there that is that kind of beacon that you get to see, we should be building around that and we should enjoy that because it's like nothing else.
There's some beautiful pieces down there. You talk about the museum and then there's the bridge down there, which is gorgeous. Like there are the natural features, but then you have these other built-in features into the landscape that, you know, you can see there's foresight.
Yeah, and I think it's important that any development we do is architecturally stunning. I mean, you know, people can talk about economics and sometimes it's much cheaper to build a box and all that kind of stuff, but this is our showpiece. And this is, you know, when people go to Old Montreal and they talk about how beautiful Montreal is, it's three square blocks that's so beautiful, but we need to focus our energy as well and make sure that, you know, our downtown and our Forks area is really beautiful.
Which is attracting people from all over the place. What's next for economic development in Winnipeg? Can you say?
Well, you know what?
I caught you off guard with that question.
It's continually a work in progress, and we're really always looking to see where we can have the most impact. And you know, I'm all about shaking it up a little bit, and we're going to keep changing, you know, with the times. But one of the things we want to do is build on the momentum. We want to build on the excitement that Winnipeg has seemed to garner in the last little bit, and we're going to work on a brand for Winnipeg. We're going to try to you know, create something that we can put out nationally and internationally to draw people to Winnipeg. So we're working on that now. It's not an easy project. You want to make sure it's authentic. You want to make sure that it's exciting and you want to make sure that Winnipeggers can get behind it. Because if they can't, we're not going to be able to sell everybody else. That is in the works. Hopefully in the next, you know, within the next year, you'll see the fruits of that labor.
You know, it's funny you would say that. Well, not funny, but I mean, it's very, very appropriate, I guess. Brand is so important, right? And understanding your brand and even working with different companies. And we've talked earlier a bit about Winnipeg companies that are understated. The times that I spend in branding type conversations is unreal. And it's just such an important thing to actually represent either your company or your community as a brand of sorts, especially in today's world where everything is a click of a button and people either they know something about you.
So we're putting a lot of time and energy in that, and we're meeting with a lot of Winnipeggers and we're doing a lot of research to make sure that we capture, you know, what I like to call the secret sauce, and we're doing our best and hopefully, you know, people will get to see the results of that in the not too distant future.
You're an awesome guest. I always have so much fun chatting with you when I do have the opportunity, you know. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you or your organization, how would they go about doing that?
The easiest way is to go to our website. So economicdevelopmentwinnipeg.com, tourismwinnipeg.com is also another one. So we're easy to find, and we make it a point to be out in public.
awesome. Dana, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me
today.
Thanks
for having me.
I really appreciate it. To our listeners, obviously, I want to thank you for tuning in. And if you have a thought, a question, an idea regarding the show, send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to remember something. Do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.